Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivrajakacharya Sattarasata Shri Srimad His Divine Grace A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Srimad Bhagavatam Grantaraj Ki Jai All glories to Sambo Devotees All glories to Sambo Devotees All glories to Sambo Devotees All glories to Shri Shri Guru and Shri Gauranga So today we are reading from the glorious Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 6, entitled Demigods and the Demons Declare a Truce. And we are going to read starting at text 33. Giving. Saying up to 38, so we might go further than that.
And
what?
Oh,
well, have it, I haven't.
Sorry.
I'm still doing the introduction. Can I have some little bit of warm water? Warm, not the ice cold stuff from Lake Ontario. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Please repeat after me. Girim.
Girim.
Charopya.
Charopya.
Garude.
Garude.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Haste Naikena.
Haste Naikena.
Lilaya.
Lilaya.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Aruya,
Aruya,
Prayaya,
Prayaya,
Abdim,
Abdim,
Aruya, Prayaya, Abdim,
Aruya, Prayaya, Abdim,
Sura, Sura,
Sura, Sura,
Ganair,
Ganair,
Vrittaha,
Vrittaha,
Sura, Sura, Ganair, Vrittaha, Girim Charopya Garude.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Sura Sura Ganayar Vritaha.
Sura Sura Ganayar Vritaha.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Sura Sura Ganayar Vritaha.
Sura Sura Ganayar Vritaha.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Girim Charopya Garude.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Sura Sura Ganaya Vritaha. Jai Ropya Garude.
Haste Naikena Lilaya.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Sura Sura Ganaya Vritaha.
Sura Sura Ganaya Vritaha.
Girim
Charopya Garude.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Aruya Prayaya Vabdim.
Sura Sura Ganaya Vritaha.
सुरागणाय वृतः गरिं चारोप्य गरुडे आस्ते नायकेन लीलाया आरुह्य प्रायया भाव्निम् सुरागणाय वृतः. Please repeat after me. Girin, the mountain. Cha, also. Aropya, placing. Garude, on the back of Garuda. Hastena, by the hand. Ekena, one. Lilaya, very easily as his pastime. Aruya, getting on. It's, you can wear for a while. Prayayao, he went. Abdim, to the ocean of milk. Sura Asura Ganai, by the demigods and asuras. Vritaha, surrounded. Translation by Srila Prabhupada. The Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. Please repeat after me. The Lord very easily
lifted the mountain
with one hand
and placed it
on the back of Garuda.
Then
he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. I'll read the previous few verses, then we'll go to the purport. Thereafter, with great strength, the demons and demigods, who were all very powerful and who had long, stout arms, uprooted the Mandara mountain. Crying very loudly, they brought it toward the ocean of milk. Because of conveying the great mountain for a long distance, King Indra, Maharaj Bali, and other demigods and demons became fatigued. Being unable to carry the mountain, they left it on the way. Number 35. Okay. The mountain known as Mandara, which was extremely heavy, being made of gold, fell and smashed many demigods and demons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. By constitution, gold is heavier than stone. Since Mandara mountain was made of gold and was therefore heavier than stone, the demigods and demons could not properly carry it to the ocean of milk. 36. The demigods and demons were frustrated and disheartened, and their arms, thighs, and shoulders were broken. Therefore, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who knows everything, appeared there on the back of his carrier Garuda. Observing that most of the demons and demigods had been crushed by the falling of the mountain, the Lord glanced over them and brought them back to life. Thus they became free from grief, and they even had no bruises on their bodies. So we see in this verse how the Krishna is, he is unbiased. He even brought the demons back to life. He could have just let them stay, you know, dead. But he brought them back to life. He's totally neutral. Verse then continuing to today's verse, the Lord very easily lifted the mountain with one hand and placed it on the back of Garuda. Then he too got on the back of Garuda and went to the ocean of milk, surrounded by the demigods and demons. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Here is proof of the omnipotence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is above everyone. So when I was first reading Krishna book, I was everything was going okay until I got to the part of Govardhan, Krishna's Leela lifting up the Govardhan. And by the first literature I ever got from the devotee, I was 16 years old, they were passing out magazines. And then there was BTG, and there's a pictured hand drawing of Krishna, this little boy lifting up a mountain, and I couldn't figure out what this was about. You know, it's like, I've read Greek mythology, Egyptian mythology, all these, but this, I couldn't wrap my mind around it. So then when I was reading the Krishna book after having read the Gita, again this thought came to me, this is very odd, this is very strange, this is a little kid holding up a mountain. But then I was thinking, well, if Krishna is God, like I just read in the Bhagavad Gita, if Krishna is God, then he should be able to do things I can't do. Right? Otherwise, how he could be God? So Jiva Goswami, in his Satsandarbha, he explains that unless you can accept that Krishna has inconceivable potencies, you shouldn't even go forward. Don't even bother turning the next page, because you're going to be run into ever more examples of Krishna doing unusual things which people can't do. Right? You see that because of Krishna's potency, how enthusiastic Dhammaprana is. Right? He inspires everybody. Just Krishna's potency is doing that, isn't it? He's not sure. Everybody else is sure, but he's not sure. Anybody else in Dhammaprana's situation might not be so gleeful as you. I was telling my wife, because she's sick, so I was using you as an example of inspiration.
Oh, God.
She became very inspired. But that's because you have tasted, you will not admit it, but everybody else can see that by Krishna's mercy, his potency, that this is a small example. So we have to accept from the very beginning Krishna's inconceivable potencies, otherwise we will not be able to understand anything that goes on in the Shastras. My brother, who was at least at that time he was a confirmed atheist, he tried to pose a tricky question. He thought he was posing a very tricky question to me, you know, because he had studied Zen and things like that. He said, can God create a stone that is so heavy he can't lift it? Anybody can answer that question? Mataji? Can God create a stone so heavy that he can't lift it? Is the answer yes or no? If the answer is yes, then how can he be God? He can't lift a stone. If the answer is no, then how can he be God? If he can't. But both answers, the answer is yes. Why? Because the nature of God is that he's Brahman. He's always expanded. So when he made the stone, he couldn't lift it. But the very next second, he could. That's the nature of Krishna. He's always expanded. His beauty is ever expanding. His bliss is ever expanding. He's so great, he even can't understand his own greatness. Because as soon as he understands it, he becomes greater. Is that true? That's correct. So, Krishna can do anything. He can even create stones that he can't lift. But the next moment, he can do that. are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods. So the demigods, the demons come up with such questions. They try to trick you into thinking that there's no God. Some people would get very confused by that question. And the Supreme Personality, so there are two classes of living entities, the demons and the demigods, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead is above them both. That's explained in the 15th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Purushottama Yoga, that there are two classes of living entities, those which are, what's the expression now? They don't make any mistakes. Infallible. Those who are fallible and those which are infallible. The infallible are in the spiritual world. You should get on the same side. I'm going to get a headache turning back and forth like this. I liked it better in the old way. Maybe sat in front. I'm getting in the material world, everybody is fallible, and in the spiritual world, everybody is infallible. But above them all is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Purushottama. That's the Bhagavad Gita. Somebody asked me that question after my car accident. They said, "How is it that the astrologer couldn't figure out that he was going to get in a car accident?" So part of my answer was that I'm fallible. I live in the material world. Only Krishna is, in the spiritual world, they're infallible. I'm not infallible. There's other parts though, but that's the main reason. I'm not infallible. Krishna, he is infallible. He is above both. He is achyuta, one who is, never falls, never, who is in his satya sankalpa. All his desires are fulfilled. The demons believe in the chance theory of creation, whereas the demigods believe in creation by the hand of the Supreme Personality of God. For the demons, they think everything happens by chance, which means they're trying to say that there's no creator. But then there's there's no lawgiver, right? That's their excuse. They're trying to. But then how come there's the laws of chance? Right? There's a whole science, statistics, which has to do with the laws of chance. So even there's no such thing as chance. As soon as they say chance, immediately they're fools and rascals, because they have no explanation. So they just throw in the chance word to fudge, is the fudge factor, so they can sort of like go around the issue. But this idea of chance, even there's the laws of chance. Like if you want to win in poker, you have to know what is the probability of getting a car, all these different things. Or, you want to go to the lottery and play the lottery. They have a Lotto Ontario, right? Something like that. Every place they have this organized gambling, and it's meant as a tax on people who didn't do good at mathematics at school. Because if you did the numbers, if you stood the laws of chance, it's practically impossible to win. So everybody is they're just losing their money. But there are such things. There is such a thing as the laws of chance. So to say it's chance as if nobody knows, that is just complete cheating. And only a fool will fall for that. And as soon as they say chance, it means, Prabhupada said, that they don't know. It's just a word that they throw out to try to pretend that they're intelligent. To fool the smaller animals. And also in the Gita, in that chapter 16, was it 16th chapter? The divine demoniac nature, that 16th chapter? 16th chapter. Do we have a Gita here? Do we have a Gita nearby? There should be a Gita. It describes how the demons think that there's no cause to the material world. It just simply came up by lust. Right? So, I'll wait till he comes with that. Okay. It's a nice print. Oh, here we go. See if we get there. Okay. They say that this world is unreal, with no foundation, no God, with no foundation, no God in control. They say it is produced by sex. It is produced of sex desire, and has no cause other than lust. Right now, this seems like this is actually the conclusion of modern day science. Remember, many years ago, there used to be this television program on TV Ontario. It was called "The Nature of Things." You may have seen that, hosted by David Suzuki or something like that. You know, and so they show all these different, animals and this, and then the conclusion is, then they show like some dandelion and the flowers going up. The conclusion is that the whole idea of creation is just to spread your genes. That's it. The whole idea of, and basically it's that lust, sex, that's the only reason for creation. So that your genes can, like in evolutionary psychology, evolution, but that the whole purpose of life is that so that your genes can be spread in the gene pool. Exactly what Krishna said, that the whole purpose of, according to the demons, that's what the purpose of life is. So, 5,000 years ago, Krishna is saying what the Darwinians are saying today, that that's the only goal of life, so that your genes can go on. And that was at the end of the program. It's just different modes of reproduction, flowers disseminating their pollen, and butterflies going here and there to molt. That's what they're doing. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here, for simply with one hand he lifted Mandara Mountain. The demigods and the demons placed them on the back of Garuda. Okay. The omnipotence of the Supreme Lord is proved here, for simply with one hand he lifted Mandara Mountain, the demigods and the demons, placed them on the back of Garuda and brought them to the ocean of milk. So he put everybody. How big Garuda is. He's pretty big, huh? Just from the flapping of the wings of Garuda comes the Samaveda. Now the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident. Right? Everybody is accepting this incident? Prabhu? Do you accept this incident? Mataji? No problem, right? Huh? It's like when Lord Brahma was talking and all of a sudden out of his nose, not a booger popped out, but Lord Varaha popped out of his nose. Right? And then he became bigger and bigger and turned into a huge mountain. And so we immediately accept that. Other people they have a hard time accepting this. Right, Dhammapan, are you there?
Yeah.
You accept that? That the Varaha popped out of Lord Brahma's nose? Did you accept that Lord Varaha appeared from Lord Brahma's nose?
I guess so.
You guess so? You're not sure? Because the Lord, he does unusual pastimes. Otherwise, if he didn't do unusual things, then who would be attracted to him, right? If a pig appeared from the mayor's nose, as opposed to a little bit of crack cocaine, then just a little bit of crack cocaine appears in the newspaper. But if a pig came out of his nose, it would be in the Globe and Mail, right? Isn't it? People would hear about it. They say that's pretty fantastic. Yeah. So Krishna does things that people take attention. They pay attention to what he does. Because he does things nobody else can do. So he appeared as a pig from Lord Brahma's nose. A huge, big pig. And he got big. First a very tiny pig, then became huge. Or like when Meena Avatar. Who was that king? Satyavrata Rishi Muni. He found this tiny little fish. And the fish, first of all, it was kind of amazing because the fish started talking to him. You know, that was, you know, I'm afraid of all these other, you know, creatures there. They're going to eat me. Please protect me. So he took the fish and he put it in a pot. But within a very short period of time, the fish grew and it was like, you know, squished in this pot. As you know, so he had to then put them in bigger containers, and each time, you know, put them in a bathtub, and boom, the fish got bigger. And finally, the fish had to, like, you know, somehow, I don't know how he did it, because he must have been pretty strong himself, but he got the fish to the ocean, and the fish became huge. Mina, you know, Matsyavata. So Krishna can do such things. So that's why we, if he just was plain and ordinary, nobody would pay attention. Yes, I should let you know that the mayor of Toronto has become world famous. Even in India, I heard about him. But for the wrong things.
Yeah, for the wrong
reasons. He's being famous for all the wrong things, you know. Now the demigods, the devotees, would immediately accept this incident, knowing that the Lord can lift anything, however heavy it might be. But although the demons were also carried along with the demigods, demons, upon hearing of this incident, would say that it was mythological. Right? Mythological. That's what the British, they tried to, when they were in India. The Muslims didn't do it, but the British, they went to great extent to try to undermine the, we need a squirt gun, I think. That's good. That was a good one. You're going to be the official squirter, okay?
Yeah.
Give him another shot, I think. The British, when I was a bhakta, it was hard for me to listen to class, and I'd really just, you know, I'd stand up and I'd move one foot to the next foot, and it was really hard. I remember in Montreal Temple it was hard, but after a while I could listen to classes. Anyway, the British, they had a whole campaign of undermining Vedic culture, and one of the things that they tried to show was that all of the Vedas is all mythology. Yeah, and they were very successful, because even today, the Indians refer to it as our mythology. But mythology means it's not real, it never happened, it's just a story. Maybe there's some, you know, allegorical meaning to it, but not true. But if God is all-powerful, why should it be difficult for Him to lift a mountain? After all, He created the mountain. All the particles, you know, what the mountain is made up of Krishna's energy. And He is within the atom of each particle. It's all His energy. Why can't He lift it? It's all His energy. The earth is His energy. Garuda is made from His energy. The demons and the demigods are made from the energy of Krishna. You know, their bodies, our souls are the energy of Krishna. Since He is floating innumerable planets with many hundreds and thousands of mandara mountains, why can't He lift one of them with His hand? This is not mythology, but a difference between the believers and the faithless. This is that the devotees accept the incidents mentioned in the Vedic literature to be true. Whereas the demons simply argue and label all these historical incidents mythology. Thing that when Prabhupada mentions historical incidents, in the Puranas and the different Shastras, it's not historical, like, you know, the writings of Thucydides or Herodotus, or, you know, Arnold Toynbee, you know, all these different things, the rise and the fall of the Roman Empire by, I can't remember who that was, written by, which is in a chronological order in great detail, you know, things, you know, what is the political reason for this and that. In the Puranas, The only historical incidences are meant as illustrations for the philosophy, not to be studied in History 101, you know, for the because there's the belief that those who do not study history are forced to repeat it. Anybody, you've heard this expression before? But if history teaches us anything, then nobody learns anything from history. And then there's the third definition, the cynic's definition of history. The cynic's definition of history is one damn thing after another. That's the cynic. Because these things continue going on. Nobody ever learned anything from history. Because we just see the same thing happening over and over again. Just different flavors. Though it is useful for Brahmins to learn history, because they're going to advise the kings like that. But still, we see people have not learned anything from history, because they keep doing the same thing over and over again. In fact, because that's what happens. And each manvantara, Mataji, like, okay. In each manvantara, there's a repetition of everything that happens in the material world. The whole thing just starts over again. Some slight variation, but in each manvantara, the same basic thing happens with some slight variation. Just like every morning, there's breakfast, then there's khichdi. Maybe there's a bit of more potatoes one morning, maybe the next morning there's a bit more tomatoes, or some, maybe there's a bit less ghee, there may be more ghee, maybe there's more jeera or less jeera, maybe some more som, whatever. But it's basically the same thing, recognizable from what it was the day before. So there's going to be very similar pastimes of the Lord. Like there was Rupa Goswami or Sanat Goswami mentioned that there was at least five different Varaha incarnations mentioned in the Puranas. There's a Sweta Varaha, Rakta Varaha, like that, Yajna Varaha, or when in the Puranas it mentioned that one time Lord Ram, because you know, Ram didn't want to take Sita into the forest, so they were arguing. You know, and Sita, you know, Ram was saying, "No, you can't come," and she was saying, "I can go," and he was being very forceful. And finally, Sita said, "Listen, if you don't let me go into the forest with you, then I'll be the first Sita who didn't go to the forest with Ram." Because it's not the first time that there was Ram Lila. There's many different manvantaras, there's Ram Lila. Not the first time. Not the first Nrisingadev, not the first Vamanadev, not the first Krishna. It's an eternal Lila happening at different times. So the histories which we read in the Shastras are meant to illustrate various philosophical points. Like in the previous canto, and coming up for next week, for the Nrisingha Chaturdasi, that whole Lila, that whole pastime was to Narada Muni's explanation to Yudhishthir how the Lord is neutral. So there's a whole, you know, 10 chapters of the 7th canto just dedicated to explaining, you know, that. So he illustrated that with that historical incident. So it's not that we have to go through the, you know, certain historical periods like that. So history in the Shastras meant something totally different. Demons would prefer to explain that everything happening in the cosmic manifestation takes place by what? Chance. But demigods or devotees never consider anything to be chance. It's like yesterday, Bhakti Marg Swami was rehearsing a play, right? Does that happen by chance? Does all the actors, they do everything by chance? Or there's a director? There's a director, right? Everything is, the whole script is there. So Krishna is an actor. There's a whole script. Again, mentioning the Ramalila. You know, that the whole thing took place because Ram followed all, you know, he was very strictly following Dasavat's order, because if he didn't follow Dasavat's order, then how would he get sent to the forest? How would he meet Ravana? How would the whole, you know, because the whole purpose of his lila was to kill Ravana. And if he stayed comfortably in his palace, then that whole pastime would not take place. So he had to follow the instructions. That was part of the script. He had to follow the instructions of Dasavats, otherwise he wouldn't be sent to the forest. Otherwise Sita could not be kidnapped. Otherwise, you know, they wouldn't go to Lanka. Otherwise Ravana wouldn't get killed. You know, everybody told Ravana, let Sita alone. The only one who didn't tell Ravana, let Sita alone, was Surpanaka. She was, you know, she's the only one who egged them on. Everybody else said it was a bad idea. His relatives, his mother, his father, you know, they all said it was a bad idea. But otherwise, how he would be killed? Unless, you know, this whole thing was arranged. That's why when Bharat was very upset with his mother, Kaikeyi, Mantara, that when they went to see Bharadvaj Rishi, when Bharat was searching for Ram, Bharadvaj Rishi says, no, don't be so upset with your mother. Her and Mantara, they are devis. They're coming from the heavenly planets, and this was their part, you know, to arrange to get Krishna, to get Ram out into the forest. Because only Ram, a human being, can kill Ravana. But demigods or devotees never considered anything to be chance. Not even a blade of grass moves without the will of the Lord. Isn't it? You say that? Not even a blade of grass. Krishna knows exactly. He even knows when we are going to go back to Godhead. Just like the doctor looking at the patient can tell how long it will take for them to recover. Isn't it? If you take the medicine, it will take a week. If you don't take the medicine, it'll take 7 days. Isn't that what I say? So Krishna knows. Because for us, we need the medicine. It's not like without taking the medicine, we're going to recover. We need to take the medicine. Sometimes the medicine is a little bit very high price. You know, Dharma Prana knows he had some medicine. I also had some medicine. Yeah. Car accident with 12 fractures. Extremely painful. But I got some very deep realization. You got some deep realization, Dharmaprana?
Oh boy. I got a lot.
Yeah, yeah. Right. Very, very, paid a very high price for those. But you wouldn't want to give those realizations up. Is it?
Yep.
High price you paid. I paid a very high price. Very. I wish that I could have got them at the discount. But they don't come at a discount. They don't come at a discount. They don't. Wisdom only comes with pain. Isn't it? So he paid a very high price for his knowledge. But that's the knowledge. That's what will cure us from the disease that we have. So Krishna knows everything. But as we get the blades of grass, he also knows when we will go back to him. Because he's the doctor. He's taking care. Rather, they know that everything is an arrangement of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is a difference between the demigods and the demons. I'll do the next verse too, because it's the last one. Thereafter, Garuda, the chief of birds, unloaded Mandara Mountain from his shoulder and brought it near the water. Then he was asked by the Lord to leave that place, and he left. You have to tell me when. I haven't the slightest idea what time it is. Garuda was asked by the Lord to leave that place because the snake Vasuki, who was to be used as the rope for churning, could not go there in the presence of Garuda. Garuda, the carrier of Lord Vishnu, is not a vegetarian. He eats big snakes. Vasuki, being a great snake, will be natural food for Garuda, the chief of birds. So he is not, you don't have to be vegetarian to be approved. I guess he does it, you know. He offers the, I don't know if he offers the snakes as prasad. So I Parida, Vijaya, that's Gurundu. But see, this is one point that Bhakti Siddhanta makes, that he was preaching in Dhaka, and some persons were pointing out that, you know, well, why we should be vegetarians. Well, you see, Garuda, he's not a vegetarian. But he pointed out that, you know, exceptions to the rule. Garuda is an exception to the rule. You just can't, just because Dhruva Maharaj went back to Godhead in his own body, don't think that's what's going to happen to you. Because Garuda can eat, is a non-vegetarian, doesn't mean we can be non-vegetarians. You know, Garuda was not a vegetarian, Jatayu was not a vegetarian, Sampati was not a vegetarian, because that's their natural food, is meat, snakes. So that exception, we have to, exceptions to the rule have to be exceptional. Otherwise they destroy the rule. So Bhakti Siddhanta, he didn't, it's cheating. Basically it's cheating. We have to be careful that we don't cheat. Otherwise if we try to cheat, then we'll stay in this material world. As the demons, they try to cheat like that. Try to find a loophole. They can stay. Lord Vishnu therefore asked Garuda to leave so that Vasuki could be brought to churn the ocean with Mandara Mountain, which was to be used as the churning rod. So you can imagine how huge the demons and the devas are if they're using a mountain as a churning rod and holding on to Vasuki. Now when Arjuna, no, yeah, when who was that king? Krishna was being chased by Kalayavana. Muchukunda. So when Muchukunda, when he awakened from his long sleep, when he was very, very tired, and he saw, and he would, you know, as soon as he saw Kalayavana, he burned him. He went to sleep in a previous yuga. Just like, you know, don't go to sleep in this yuga. He went to sleep in the previous. When he woke up, he noticed that everyone, he considered everybody to be the size of pygmies. That was at the end of Dwapara Yuga. But Arjuna was something like 18 feet tall. And his arrows were like 12 feet long. But Muchukunda considered humans that tall to be pygmies. To be tiny. Because he was from an earlier yuga. So that means that what to speak of us considered compared to Arjuna and 18 feet tall, 12 foot arrows, that the, and the demigods are huge. And if they're having a mountain as their churning rod, how large they must be. These are the wonderful arrangements of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Nothing takes place by accident. Carrying Mandara Mountain on the back of a bird and putting it in its right position might be difficult for anyone, whether demigod or demon. But for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything is possible as shown by this pastime. This is might be difficult for anyone. I mean, it's impossible for anybody. It's impossible. What to speak of a little difficult. It's impossible for anybody else to do that. Only Krishna can do that. The Lord had no difficulty lifting the mountain with one hand and Garuda. His carrier carried all the demons and the demigods together by the grace of the Supreme Lord. The Lord is known as Yogeshwara, the master of all mystic power, because of his omnipotence. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using word like accident, they take shelter of ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. You know, their idea is that there was just a protoplasmic crud out there, you know, that over billions and billions and billions of years, you know, the atoms got together and then something crawled out of the mud, you know, and then it climbed into a tree and it came out of the tree and then, you know, it started thinking about itself. You know, what's more unbelievable? What, Krishna's explanation or their explanation? And then, you know, this monkey turned into a human being, and then it created, you know, all, you know, built all these buildings and cars and, you know, went to war. What is the purpose of all this? This makes no sense whatsoever. Which is more unbelievable? And we're supposed to believe them because it's science. When was the last time you saw an atom? How do we know the atom exists? Because the scientists tell us. To be able to see a particle smasher, and, you know, one of these things, you have to have, you know, top level security clearance. So we have to just believe whatever they say. You just can't go and do that experiment yourself. You have to accept everything that they say on faith. The high priests of physics, you know, and of course they're just cheating the government on every possible way that they can get these grants. They make bigger and bigger cyclotrons and all these different things, which you will never even get close to. You'll never get close. You just have to simply accept whatever they say totally on faith. But what we do, that we're the ones who are irrational, right? The Lord is known as Yogeshwar, the master of all mystic power, because of his omnipotence. If he likes, he can make anything lighter than cotton or heavier than the universe. Those who do not believe in the activities of the Lord cannot explain how things happen. Using a word like accident, they take shelter in the idea that ideas that are unbelievable. Nothing is accidental. Everything is done by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as the Lord himself confirms in Bhagavad Gita. Maya yakshena prakriti suyate sucharacharam sacharacharam. Whatever actions and reactions occur within the cosmic manifestation all take place under the superintendence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. However, because the demons do not understand the potency of the Lord, when wonderful things are done, the demons think they are accidental. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 8th canto, 6th chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled The Demigods and the Demons Declare Truths. What time is it now?
It's 20 after.
Perfect.
It's 25 after.
All right. That's what time we're
questions.
Okay. Q&A. You got questions? We got answers. So? Prashna?
I think comment, not question.
How Garuda was so powerful that he could carry the Lord in the mountain. Because Garuda, he, in the previous time, he stole the Amrita. He was the second son of Vinata. Vinata had two sons, Aruna and Garuda. So Aruna, he is the charioteer of the sun god. He was actually his mother was a little bit anxious. She pushed and she opened the egg early, and so he was sort of deformed. So then he cursed his mother. That's how she got in trouble later. So, because her co-wife, Kayadru, she was envious of Vinata, so she made a bet with the Vinata that if you lose the bet, then you have to become my slave. You sannyas to become. That's how the Garuda became enemies with the serpents. So the bet was that Uchesrava, the horse, they said when he would come, he would have a black tail, right? So, but actually Uchesrava didn't have a black tail. He had a white tail. So Kayadru saw that, so she told her sons, the snakes, you go and cover his tail so that he's got a, has looked like it's black. And I said, no, we can't do that. That's cheating. That's lying. Because they're honest snakes. These are the Adi snakes, not they? And she cursed them. Then she cursed the snakes. This is all that is told in the history of the, in the beginning of the Mahabharata, of why there ends up being the Sarpa Yagna of, who was that? The Sarpa Yagna? The son of, grandson of Parikshit's son? He does the Sarpa Yagna. So anyway, then she curses them. And, now we're going to get cursed by our mother, right? So then they decide to go along with her, you know, and then they covered Uchesrava's tail. And then Vinata lost the bet, so she had to become the slave. So now then they got cursed. So now, but the curse was not removed. Kayadu did not remove the curse. And now they lost their ethics by cheating. And not only that, they made enemies with Garuda. So they were like totally muffed it. Totally blew it because they agreed to go along with lying. So that's a lesson. They should have stayed with their word and not done it because they got cursed anyway. They didn't lose the curse. Then they lost their integrity and then they made enemies with Garuda. So then he became inimical to the snakes, and then there was a whole thing. He stole the Amrita. So there was Amrita. Then there was Amrita another time. He stole that Amrita. And the devas were fighting with him. And then he was so powerful that Lord Vishnu became very happy with him. And Lord Vishnu asked him what blessings, you know, he wanted Garuda to be his carrier. And so then Garuda asked, what blessings do you want? He said, that I should always be above you. Right? Because Krishna is Asama Urdhva. Nobody is equal to him and nobody is above him, but Garuda asked that I should always be above you. So Lord Vishnu said yes. So how is it that Garuda is always above Vishnu?
Flying.
No. Atishta tishta govinda, atishta garuda dvaja. Huh? Atishta tishta, at the beginning of the prayers. Wake up Govinda, who has the flag of Garuda. So Garuda's flag is always above Vishnu. So why Garuda is so powerful? Because Vishnu is always standing on him. He's got the lotus feet of Vishnu on him at all times. How he could not be powerful? He's kept. Lord Vishnu's feet is always touching him. So that's why he's always supremely powerful. But at the same time, he's always above Lord Vishnu. He's Garuda Dvaja, Garuda Dvaja, that's one of the names of Lord Vishnu. But he's always carrying the flag of Garuda above his head. It's like Arjuna is Kapidvaja. He carries the flag of Hanuman above his chariot. So that is why Garuda is always powerful. Because he always has the feet of Lord Vishnu on his back. Any other comment?
Tomorrow you're giving class?
Unless you want to give class. Who with the schedule?
I don't think anyone will give class. Tomorrow one Mata is to give class, but I think she's gone.
I can give class tomorrow then.
Yeah. Fantastic.
So now you know why Garuda's, he's above, he's below Krishna and above him at the same time. Under Krishna's feet and he's above Krishna at the same time. Srimad Bhagavatam Granth Raj Ki Jai. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.